Last year, Adam and I and a few hundred friends of DeSoto gathered in the Masonic Lodge inside a cemetery in the heart of Hollywood. Were we there to practice some dark rite? Some sinister ritual designed to bring deceased Star Trek actors back to the plane of the living? To bring an unholy horde of undead nerd celebrities to Earth to consume the brains of the living? No, we were just doing our live show of the Share Your Embarrassment Tour. It's our review of Star Trek V, and we filmed it. We just wanted to let you know to get ready for that live stream announcement coming next week. If you're a Max Fun member and you support our shows, you'll get access to discounted tickets from membership at MaximumFun.org. So, good time to make sure those emails are delivering properly to your inbox. Either way, we'll be announcing ticket links soon here and on our mailing list that you can sign up for at podshop.biz. The Share Your Embarrassment Tour is coming to your living room for one last stop, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Ben Harrison.
I'm Adam Pranica. Ben?
Yes, Adam?
This is an interesting episode to maybe discuss the following topic. Okay. What are you afraid of?
That's, I don't know that I have, like, any phobias. I mean, I'm not crazy about heights, but I don't have a ton of cause to be, you know, up on scaffolding. And I feel like when I am, it's not like I lose control.
Yeah.
I think that the irrational fear is, well, I'm sure that I have one and I just haven't encountered it, but, you know, like when we go on an airplane and my wife is sitting next to me, she really goes through a lot to fly from New York to LA.
Yeah.
And
the seven stages of Android airline phobia.
Yeah. And like it took me a long time to like get my head around the fact that there's nothing she can do about that, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, just think your way out of it, you know? It's not a dangerous way to travel. Riding in a car is a dangerous way to travel.
It's interesting to me how those things come on later. Like, my parents have never been fearful of flying, and now it would take a miracle to get them on a plane.
Really?
Yeah, and I hear about this a lot. Like some of these phobias set in later on in life in a strange way.
That is interesting. Well,
I hope that one never hits me, because I really like flying, even for all of the ways that flying tries to make you hate it. I still do enjoy it.
I'm sure that I'm due for loads of really life-compromising phobias since I've gotten this far with relatively few.
Yeah, they're coming. They're on the next train.
I mean, this is not to say, Adam, that I don't have lots of mental frailties. I sure do. It's just that, like, irrational fears are not among them. I'm much more like, I feel terrible and never want to do anything or see anyone ever again kind of guy.
Yeah. So I think the reason I bring this up, Ben, is because, I mean, I think we're coming at this episode a little differently than how we normally do, which is like using the Marin Open to set the tone for what's to come. But I read something interesting about the writer of this episode. Brandon Braga said that this episode was one of his most personal because he hates flying. And that's where the idea came from, to write Barclay as transporter phobic. And it made me think a lot about the relationship between science fiction and contemporary fear.
Yeah.
And how difficult it must be to write about flying, like write about space flying even, from the perspective of someone who does not like it, and how that must cut creatively.
Adam, did I hear you say you did a little research?
Yeah, I know.
The room is spinning.
Yeah.
I thought we had an agreement, dude.
Well, the reason that I did the research was because this episode just feels like a great departure from the norm. This is going into the bottle on a character. A character who has had quite a few bottles given to him. So maybe now is a good time to start the episode. As we discuss season 6, episode 2, Realm of Fear.
Adam, Yosemite is missing. The starship Yosemite. It's a science vessel. Was doing some science on... I feel like we've seen this star, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the star getting sucked into another star.
Is it the same one, or is it a different one where the same thing is happening?
I think it's the second one.
Yeah. So... they pull up and they, you know, get out their binoculars and they look into the suck stream, and there's the Yosemite adrift, and they're like, okay, well, let's beam them out. And they're like, well, the transporter is gonna get some bad interference if we try and, you know, send it through that suck stream. Like, it's got a line of sight thing, but you can't have a high wind compromising it. So
I feel like Riker's, we've seen a lot of these scout ships fucked up, Ben.
Like, yeah.
Like, bad things are always happening to them.
Yeah, you don't want to get in a Miata class starship.
Do you think when you graduate the academy and you get your ship assignment, you're like, fingers are crossed that you don't get a scout? Like, you'd rather go to the hood than a scout, right? At least you're going to be safe on the hood.
The hood is essentially a pleasure cruise, Adam. Captain DeSoto is not putting you in any kind of stressful situations.
Captain DeSoto puts you first. That's what I like about him.
Yeah, he's like a bottom up guy, you know.
He's the like, hey, what do you guys think? That wants to be friends with you, and the class just walks all over him.
He's like, we were thinking about going to Wolf 359. Are you guys into it? No. Okay, we don't have to.
Or I can put in this VHS cassette of the Civil War documentary. Yay! Everyone loves movie period.
Yeah. It's raining outside, so recess is canceled. But
oh man, Mr. DeSoto's awesome.
The Yosemite is not so lucky. Their captain took them too close to the suck stream, and Riker suggests maybe taking a Previa out there, and they're like, same risk for the Previa as there is for this starship. So the idea is tossed out by one Reginald Barclay.
Commander, if we bridged our transporter system with theirs, we might be able to cut through the ionic field.
And Geordi's like, awesome, buddy, you just volunteered to be the first one over. It's one of those no good deed goes unpunished kind of moments.
There's a fun amount of exposition in this scene, because O'Brien's like, look, the only difference between transporting normally and this weird conjoined form of transport is that you're going to feel a special tingle, and it's going to take like 3 times as long. And Riker's like, that sounds great. Let's do it, Mr. Worf. Like, yeah. I love Riker's like cocksuredness about the plan, and then he volunteers someone else to go first.
He volunteers his best friend to try it out.
No one comments on the tingle, though.
No. This scene really stood out to me because I was looking at Dwight Schultz's hair, and I was like, God damn, like, it looks like Dwight Schultz hasn't used conditioner since the last episode he was on.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to O'Brien, and O'Brien's got the same problem. They both look super dry.
You think they're sharing a trailer with some water pressure issues?
I just wonder if they had, like, the B team from HMU get dispatched. Like, Paramount was like, hey, we need the good team for, like, a movie. But these guys are, you know, they've been training for weeks. They're very good at this point. And Dwight Schultz and Colm Meaney got kind of fucked over.
If you're at their level, you don't get the A-list hair and makeup, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, there's maybe it's like a front zip, back zip thing, or like
Right.
We're like, okay, we've got you in a back zip, but you're not quite in front zip in, as far as hair care goes.
That the back zip craft services is much, much nicer.
Yeah.
A lot far more variety than front zip craft services, which is like a TGI Fridays, like takeout.
It's like the business class lounge at an airport, you know? Right. Like you can leave your luggage around, nobody's going to take it.
Yeah. There's some real fun tension building in this scene because this is a lot like, I've never been skydiving, but everything I hear from people who have gone have been like, look, if you ever go skydiving, always go first.
Right.
You do not want to be in the plane watching people jump out. If you have any sort of compunction about it, like, make sure your ass is out of the door first. And this is the fatal flaw that Barkley makes as a transport phobe. He's like, he's standing there watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it really reminded me of was when I was a kid, like, occasionally we would, like, hike to somewhere where there was, like, a swimming hole and you could jump off of a rock that was like 15 feet above the swimming hole into the water. And like, if I didn't go first, watching other people do it did not reassure me that it was okay to do. It made it more and more scary every single time.
Yeah.
And they go for some fun close-ups on Schultz. He is like dripping sweat. He is sweating bullets. And by the time he gets up on the pad, he's a hot mess.
Was there any indication that Barkley was a transporter phobe up until this moment? This is a new character trait, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
he's always been a little tweaky, but that's just general.
Pulaski's always was always a transporter phobe, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but she's old. You can understand, like, she hasn't met very many of them.
I guess they probably dusted him off because they were like, we cannot sell this for any of the main characters.
Yeah. This is sort of like applying to be in the Coast Guard and hating to swim. I don't know how you graduate Starfleet Academy and have this sort of an issue with a transporter.
Yeah, you should have to tread beam for 45 minutes to prove that you're capable. Transportee.
Oh man, the tingling on 45 minutes has got to be extreme. Oh man, that's more than a Selsun Blue amount of tingle.
Yeah. Speaking of Selsun Blue, Barkley and O'Brien could use some maybe just changing shampoos, you know?
Yeah.
Your hair gets kind of used to it.
I'm sure that's all it is.
Yeah. So he pulls a Data, he shits himself, and he punches out.
Phase coils are...
I'm sorry, I just can't do this.
And we smash to opening credits. We come back, and Barkley is in therapy.
He has walked directly to therapy from the transporter room.
Yeah.
I guess he's glad that Counselor Troy had an opening for a walk-in.
Do you think he just like grabbed 90s mom hair off the couch and threw her into the hall? He's like, I really need this right now. Sorry.
Yeah. Go meet Captain Picard. I feel like you guys would hit it off.
He loves a redhead.
Yeah. I think we get a set redress for this. For Counselor Troy's office, too.
Yeah, this is same couch, a lot of the same furniture, but a different room and differently oriented, I think.
I feel like Counselor Troy doesn't have a lot for him by way of like advice, counseling or medical or otherwise, but she does introduce him to a part of his anatomy that he's not familiar with, Ben, and maybe you haven't been either. It's called the placebo. And the placebo is located right near the carotid artery below the ear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just tap on the placebo, you can make yourself feel a lot better during stressful situations.
Yes, it's a betazoid method.
It's the homeopath's answer to cognitive behavioral therapy, Adam. It's like, hey, you've got a thing that really works. Let's do something that's the opposite of that and hope that you're hoping it works is enough.
Oh, boy. Ben, do you hear that in the distance? Those are the letters, and they're coming.
This is 1,000 monkeys working at 1,000 typewriters.
I think people that think about an advanced future know enough to know a charlatan school of medicine when they see one.
Have you ever gone to a place and had a pin stuck into your placebo? I found it incredibly soothing, and that's not a joke. Have you ever done that?
I have not done that. I know that that has been good for people I know, but I've never had cause to do it.
Here's the thing about acupuncture for me personally.
But acupuncture has a measurable impact.
Yeah.
Whereas homeopathy is a lie.
Oh man, please address your letters directly to Ben, so that I may make the right Gmail rule for these. Okay. You're handling this, Ben. So Barkley starts tapping on his placebo, and he's like, this is working great. I actually feel a lot better. And he walks back. He walks out of the counselor's office, like, raring to go, feeling great, ready to rejoin the mission.
Rock hard to fuck the transporter.
Yeah. This is an episode where you get a lot of different perspectives of the transporter itself, both in terms of the person being transported, but also shot compositionally. Like, I don't remember ever seeing inside out of the transporter pad.
Yeah, no, it's pretty fun to get the, not just the POV of somebody being transported, but just seeing what somebody being transported would see before the beam is even engaged.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's cool. Neat. It's cooler than I would have expected. Just changing the look of it.
What a shame that they haven't used these sets in that way up till now. Like, it's the same set.
Yeah, I mean, you got to knock out that wall behind the transporter or you're faking it. Like, there's just not a lot of room up there on the pad.
Yeah, it must be it. They don't want to deploy their tripod on that nice shiny surface.
Yeah, it's true. It's full of isolinear chips, as we'll see later.
So Reg shows up on the bridge of this other ship, and there's not a lot of people around, and everything's blinking. They find one guy that's covered in some bolognese sauce, and so they're going to take him back. But like, a lot of the crew is missing, right?
I could have used a verbal check of like, what's the crew complement of a scout ship like this? Because I had a hard time wrapping my mind around how many were missing, how many were dead, how many are typically on board these ships. It seemed like at no point was there more than a couple of dozen. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely never clarified as far as I know.
I am unwilling to do that level of research, though. And you can send those letters to me.
Oh, jeez. Well, I guess they've got some concerns that maybe there's some foul play afoot. Like, there's some Ferengis complaining about a Cardassian attack in the neighborhood. And so, they don't know. They don't really know what happened to this ship. They don't know what happened to everybody. And they're like, oh, maybe like the Cardassians did it. I think Picard's on the FaceTime with a nice old lady admiral. They got no short supply of admirals in Starfleet, and every admiral has a different costume.
Maybe that's sort of admiral's prerogative. When you get up to level, you get to pick it out yourself.
Like George Patton getting to make up his own uniforms?
Yeah. That's great, right? You know what we never get out of the admirals? We get all the bureaucracy that comes with an admiral, but we never get the admiral who's grizzled because he's been through the shit. Yeah. The admiral with the glass eye who's like, look, I've been in Cardassian space, and I got to tell you, Picard, watch your fucking back. Like, like, that would be really cool. But instead, we get like very matronly, very sober instructions from basically every admiral we've seen.
It would be good if there were, like, this is the flagship. It would be really nice if, like, on the flag, like, what if Picard had, like, a superior who was around a bunch?
Yeah. A regular? Like, what's his name on Charlie's Angels? Bosley?
like Fred Thompson in Hunt for Red October when he gets to the carrier group in the fucking North Atlantic, you know? Like what if Picard had to like defer to the wisdom of another character a lot? Like, cuz that captain like was definitely trying to be a captain, and then Fred Thompson's like cut the boy some slack, Charlie. You know, I'm saying, Adam, is please write Fred Thompson's character from Red October into Star Trek: The Next Generation.
I just sat back wordlessly on that thread, just hoping and praying that I would hear a Fred Thompson impression, and I got it. Thank you. Here's the thing about Fred Thompson. Like, I can't think of another example of a more fun character actor combined with a worse politician.
I know.
Like, it's incredible. He's so likable. He's so likable. And and he plays basically the same character in Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
Like, I'm almost positive Days of Thunder is canonical Red October.
it's Baldwin track Jack Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And like Fred Thompson, almost as if like he doesn't know a camera is on, tells like the most awful racist story about like, do you remember Days of Thunder at all?
I was probably like almost 20 years younger than I am right now when I saw Days of Thunder last.
Days of Thunder is worth watching again. I won't say it holds up.
It's got some nice racism in it.
The racism isn't the part that's funny. That part is shocking. But like Fred Thompson.
Do you think Fred Thompson showed up on set and was like, I'd like to make some changes to my character and the dialogue he says?
He's like, he thinks he's waiting for the scene that he's actually shooting. Like, that's the headcanon that I have.
Jesus.
Like, why don't you sit down here, Mr. Thompson, and we'll get you prepped. I'm done?
I always think about Jesse Ventura and Arnold Schwarzenegger at, like, the craft services table.
Yeah.
On Predator, like, did they ever get into politics?
God. I would love.
And, like, you know, Arnold's like, you know, like, we have to cut taxes on the job creators at the top of the economic pyramid. And Jesse Ventura's like, that's a Bilderberger group concept that's been injected into the American body politic for two generations. I mean, as long as we're here injecting more and more C-minus impressions into the cast, Adam.
Give me all the impressions, Ben. Oh, God. There is a commentary track out there with both of them, right?
There
I feel
must
like that
be.
Has to exist.
Ooh, yeah. They must have got him in a sound booth at some point. And this was probably post-Ventura governorship and pre- governatorship.
Maybe they got in that sound booth and Ventura sort of inspired the gubernatorial run.
You've got the X factor. You've got the policy platform. There's nothing stopping you.
Yeah, but I have so much to learn.
I think learn is my favorite word to say as Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
There's like four syllables in that word.
I was with a friend and we were in San Diego doing something at Comic-Con. And we drove past a billboard advertising an exhibit called Koalifornia. And my favorite thing to do as Schwarzenegger ever since has been to talk about Koalifornia, my favorite koala exhibit at the San Diego Zoo. Adam, we have a pretty interesting episode to talk about today. Let's get back to it.
I feel like this is the furthest off-road we've gone off of an episode. like We're almost at a half gas tank. We really should turn back to the road.
How do we even get back to the episode at this point?
I don't know.
We're like...
It's starting to get dark out here, Ben.
It's like Gattaca. We've swam out and not saved anything for the swim back.
I ate my last granola bar hours ago. There's no more water left.
This is going to turn into a Donner Party thing.
I don't have any cell signal, do you?
No, I have AT&T, though, so I never really do.
Mm. Hmm. Zing.
Hot take. There's some fun, like, Star Trek CSI going on over on the other ship. Like, there's, like, a spot in the other ship's transporter that's got, like, an explosion mark, and Worf is like...
Blast analysis indicates the explosion originated here.
Yeah, their transporter room looks like a pizza oven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't look good.
Soot. Yeah, they need to run the oven clean mode on their transporter.
It's how you get that delicious char on the bottom, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's seasoning, ultimately.
And that's the mystery, right? They got a bunch of crispy bodies over there. They got a charred up transporter. Beverly beams over the crispy guy into six bay, starts performing some tests on him. And he starts displaying some weird shit. Like, parts of him wake up and then go back to sleep totally separately. Like, she'll get brain readings off of him, and then they'll go away. And then he'll start breathing, and then he'll stop. And then his heart will start beating, and then it'll stop. Like, none of these systems are combined with any other system, so it's not like he's alive again. But it's real spooky.
Patty Yasutake is in this scene as Nurse Ogawa, and it's a big moment for her, Adam. She doesn't play it up, but she has been upgraded to back zip.
What?
Yep.
You know what? I just sort of took the front zip for granted.
Nope.
Ben?
Yeah, Ogawa's gone back zip.
You know what? I like to keep my eye line up, like when I'm looking at Ogawa. Like, I don't want her to think I'm like copping a look or anything. I just sort of assume that the zipper's going to be on the front where I saw it last.
Like, my eyes are up here, Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
I noticed it when it was an over-the-shoulder shot, Adam, so I didn't do anything offensive.
Oh, good job by you. You're a better man than me.
They've got this kind of event horizon-y guy, right? He's got the slices all over his body, and he keeps like coming to life in different ways, but not all at once.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
He is legit Fangoria. Like, he is cover of Fangoria fucked up.
I think that we've also already had one of these encounters with the transporter turds, where I think when Barclay beams back to the Enterprise, he's in the transporter beam, and that it looks like a shy Halud had a love child with a poop, and it's swimming around in there. It's some of the worst puppetry we've seen on the show.
It is. It is Children's Hospital puppet show quality. Like, Ben, what does it look like? It looks like a man wearing an oven mitt, like
swimming it
around, wearing a green suit. And guess what, Ben? Like, doing more research for this episode, it's a man wearing an oven mitt and a green suit that did this effect.
Yeah, this is very uncharacteristically hokey for the show. Like, I think that they get the effects right so much of the time.
The only explanation is that they couldn't unwind the comp for the remastered version is the only explanation that this remains, because it shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it's really rough. And
you ever make that slug in the lunchroom with the wrapper of a drinking straw, and you like drop some water on it? That's what this thing looks like.
Yeah, it kind of has that look to it. This thing bites Barclay on the arm, and like for the rest of the episode, like every so often he'll pull his sleeve back and his arm looks all transportery.
he gets into a little chaotic bro here because, like, what are you supposed to do when something weird happens to you, Ben? If you see something, say something.
Yeah, take it to the doctor. Take it to the counselor, which he's already established he's willing to do in this episode.
Yeah, but it's his shame that prevents him from doing this. He's afraid that if he reports it, he's going to come off as one of those transporter room crazies that that they used to have in the Federation 50 years ago.
Or in season two.
Right. I love it. Barclay's like, he talks to Geordi. He's like, so has anything weird ever happened to you in a transporter? Geordi's like, no, not really. It's gone great for me every time. As if we're meant to forget that he and Ro basically died four episodes ago in a transporter accident.
Yeah, that's a good point, Adam. I didn't even
Why
think
are you
about
lying
that.
To make him feel better, Geordi?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be your friend.
You should have enough respect for him to be truthful about this.
Yeah.
My love is a fever, long in jail for that, which longer nurses the disease.
He's trying to chill himself out, but he makes the classic mistake of going on WebMD.
Computer, access Starfleet medical database.
He, like, you know, does all of the pitfalls my wife falls into whenever.
Yeah.
Like, I have a health thing. She, like, diagnoses my cancer.
You are not
unseen.
Supposed to type in black spot on arm. Or what he does is, like, he types in sparkles on forearm, and he gets, mm-hmm. like, the most awful pictures read to him by the computer.
Yeah. I think that, like, eventually we get to a point where Barclay, he's going to get, like, cleansed in the transporter beam. Is that the idea? Or no, he goes and gets O'Brien, and he's like, hey, you and me have terrible hair in this episode, right? And O'Brien's like, right, right. And he's like, all right, I need your help. I need you to, like, put me in the transporter beam for a little while so I can take a look around, see if I'm going crazy. And O'Brien's like, well, listen, like, I don't get your transporter phobia, but I'm totally terrified of spiders, so I get it. On that level, I'm going to help you out, bro. I'm going to do you, like from one guy with terrible hair to another, I'm going to do you a solid. And
it's such a weird concept. Like I'm gonna put you in the beam and leave you there.
Yeah.
Until you see some stuff.
Yeah, I'll let you tread beam for a little while.
Like, O'Brien's form of commiseration is such a weird choice. Like, I'm afraid of stuff too, like spiders. You can tell they aren't very good friends because the direction that O'Brien would go with a closer friend is more like, I'm locked in a loveless marriage and I can't seem to find my way out of it. It's sort of like being covered with invisible monsters.
So Barclay goes in the beam and I guess he confirms that he's seeing shit. Is that
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
So he comes out and he's like,
I want you to wake the senior staff.
He has a really nice urgent to commercial, doesn't he?
He really does. Yeah, we very rarely get Barclay eyes. But he's got him. He's got the eyes for it.
We don't get the scene where someone's got to wake up the captain because of Barclay's weird theory. And that go-between has got to be real uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, is that Riker? Is like Barclay is a lieutenant and O'Brien is an enlisted guy at this point. And Barclay goes, wake up the senior staff. And O'Brien's like, okay.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that go up, not down?
I was really surprised that Picard attended this meeting. I really feel like he could have totally credibly been like, just catch me up later.
Barclay?
Like, there's no way this is legit.
Not going.
Yeah. Wait, this is the same guy who plugged himself into the computer that one time and almost killed all of us? Yeah, I think I'll wait until after brunch.
See if this is an opportunity to get rid of him, Will. it comes out that Barclay is like infected with space bugs. He's got like they're like microscopic thingies from the suck stream that are in his system because of the transporter beam, and like they confirm it by like blowing up some suck stream matter in the engineering, like in a controlled demo in the engineering room. And they're like, the only way to get it off is by sending you through the transporter beam, like for a while.
And that was a real fun Mythbusters bit that they did in engineering. That was great.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah. Jamie and Adam are theorizing that suckstream matter will explode if exposed to resonant frequencies.
We've beamed some of this matter into a bank teller's tube chute container.
Berkeley, check the containment field.
That was awesome!
You just can't put much stuff into that tube.
Yeah.
Before it blows up.
Is that tube only still alive at Home Depot? I feel like that's how they take a check at Home Depot, but that's the only place that still uses it, right?
My bank has the tube.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I knew I wanted to live in Seattle.
And, like, for years and years and years, I've always deposited in the ATM until there was a line at the ATM and the tube was open, and I was like, I don't think I've ever used this tube before. Let's try it. And
now
I'm exclusively tube. I am tube every time now. It gives you a fun, like, walkie-talkie interaction.
Cool.
With the teller. You get to push a button and shoot a thing. And anytime you're banking, if you can shoot a thing at the same time, I think that's fun.
That's great.
Yeah. Man, it also seems incredibly fraught with danger. Like, the idea of cash or check just being scattered inside the tube, it seems totally real to me.
Yeah.
It seems like it should happen all the time.
Man.
We need to bring back the tube.
Pneumatics need to make a big comeback in this modern world.
People are always talking about, like, the maglev train to Portland from Seattle. Like, wouldn't it be great? Stick me in a tube, man. I'll take the tube, thank you very much.
Yeah. Pneumatics! It's the wave of the future. So they're going to cleanse him with the transporter beam.
He's going to purify himself in the waters of the transporter stream.
Yeah, and he's like hanging out in there, and the poopy Shia Hulud comes back and he grabs it, and like Geordi and O'Brien are like playing a duet on the transporter computer, and they're like, what the fuck just happened? He just gained 90 pounds. And they erect a force field around the transporter pad and materialize him, and he's holding a man in a bad Starfleet science boy costume. And it turns out that the poopies floating around in the matter stream are in fact crew members from the USS Yosemite, and Barclay explains very briefly to Worf and his Dustbuster Club, like, just, yeah, like, go into the matter stream, grab one of the poops, and you'll come back, and it'll be a person.
The poopies. They're made of people. They're people. Like, literally, the last words that O'Brien says to Barclay are, try not to move around much in there. Not sure we'll be able to bring you back if you do. And he full-on, like, jumps in the pad, like wraps his arms around this wet gray sleeping bag and brings it back with him.
Yeah. And then Worf and the Dustbuster Club do the same.
Yeah.
It is
a lot of trust there.
It's an error-free life-saving attempt.
Yeah.
Good times.
I am the cutest of all. You will assist us. I am the cutest of all.
Barclay just sort of basks in the glow of a man whose crazy was proven true, you know? Like, that's the satisfied look on his face. He's crumpled in a heap in the corner of the transporter room. He's all sweaty and satisfied. He's like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, it's the satisfaction my wife would feel if we were on a transcontinental jet and, you know, we hit a pelican and we were going down. She would look at me and be like, I was right. I was right all along.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of vindication here.
So I think the slide whistle on the episode is the two bad boys of conditioner hanging out in 10 forward, and Chief O'Brien introduces Barclay to his pet tarantula.
Keep an eye on her, will you?
Sure.
Just getting back to their hair for a moment, like, do you know anyone with curly hair, like Colm Meaney?
The only person I know that has hair similar is maybe Jordan Morris of the great Jordan Jesse Go podcast.
All I hear about from people who have curly hair is how difficult the upkeep is. So by saying that, all I'm saying is I'm not sure if O'Brien and Barkley can really commiserate about hair matters.
I'm not trying to punch down or anything, Adam. I'm just saying they, like, when you get a close shot of both of them, it's clear that they have not taken care of their manes, you know? Like, there's a lot of split ends on evidence. There's a lot of frizz.
Yeah, it's first day hair. Like, it's washed but not product.
Like, neither of them is as groovy, but they've both taken a page from the Neil Young hair care manual.
Yeah. Yeah. O'Brien takes out a steamer basket that you'd get dim sum with and reveals like a giant tarantula.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Ben, when the dim sum cart goes by and you got your big broccoli, you got your shumai.
Yeah, you've got that shrimp with like mayonnaise and walnuts.
I'll eat all of that. That sounds great.
It's good stuff.
I'm not getting those tarantulas, though. I'm not getting the tarantula. That's next level dim sum.
I think you should try it next time, man. It's pretty good.
All right.
There's not a lot of bad dim sum in the world, Adam.
O'Brien, who has never betrayed an interest in pets, does not have a pet or a pet age appropriate child at home. What's he doing keeping poisonous spiders at home with a newborn?
He's looking for a way out, Adam.
Yeah, he really hates his family, huh?
He fucking hates it.
Do you think that on the Enterprise, there's like the one-page leaflet of Enterprise news that like that some kid is putting together every day? And like, and there's always the pet escape story on that thing, right? Like,
you know, it's Jay Gordon doing that.
Yeah, yep. It's totally Jay Gordon's Vanity Press newspaper. It's like some month a boa constrictor escapes the pet shop set that we've seen before.
Yeah.
And you know Miles O'Brien's tarantula is going to escape at some point. It's going to make the news.
Yeah. Can't wait for that episode, Adam. Hopefully that's in season 6.
Yeah. Really got a lot of ground to cover, don't we?
We sure do. Did you like this episode, Adam?
Yeah, I think I did. I mean, how many bottles is Barkley going to get?
99.
If you were to, before the show even started, tell me that there was a character who had all of these phobias, who had some stuttering, who had some social issues, who made some fake love affairs on the holodeck with bridge crewmen. You got this guy. And then you have potentially the most powerful figure ever to exist in Star Trek, tending the bar. Who would you want to see more of those two characters? So far, we've gotten... Barkley's only been on the show for like a season and a half. We've gotten so much Barkley, dude. And so little Guinan.
Make Guinan great again, Adam.
Can I just scrape some of the Barkley into the Guinan column? Give me some of that.
Give it to me.
Yeah, I mean, I like the episode, but chill out with the Barkley.
Knock it off with all that Barkley.
I think we're good on Barkley for a while.
Yeah. Save it till the end of Voyager.
What about you?
I did like this episode. I thought that maybe it like slipped into the transparent a couple of times when it was like very obviously about air travel.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, it's...
I thought for sure, speaking of that O'Brien would be like, yeah, you know, when I first started transporting, I would just get bombed. I'd get bombed in the lounge, and then it makes transporting a breeze. But they weren't willing to make the comparison quite that equivalent.
Yeah, yeah.
You have 3 or 4 Bloody Marys. Transporting doesn't feel like anything at all.
Yeah, Jordy's like, I do it like a Xanax and a half and a double at the airport lounge before I get on the transporter pad.
You just sleep most of the way through. It's great. Yeah. Be there in no time.
Have you tried melatonin?
Yeah, that's fun. That was a strike through on the script.
Yeah. That was in the white copy, but not the blue copy.
Do you see any messages coming in on the P1 transponder?
The P1 transponder is pregnant with messages, Adam. Let's let it give some sweet, sweet birth.
Let's boil up some water and get some
tear
get
up some
scissors.
Blankets. Yeah.
Boy, you and I just went very different directions there. Yes, blankets are a better idea than scissors.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental income?
Supplemental. Yeah, it's extra.
By the interest alone could be enough to buy this ship.
Adam, we have a couple of messages here. The first one is a personal message from Boo Boo, your macaroni salad and husband. It's to Yogi, my potato salad and husband. Husband, happy 54th birthday. Early or belated, depending on when this airs. I look forward to celebrating, or maybe we already have damn chronoton particles.
Yeah.
Or maybe we already have damn chronoton particles. I decided to take that in the damn Daniel direction.
I like that.
I can't tell you how happy I am we found each other, even though I had to drive around the coffee shop 3 times to find you in the one-horse town of Staten. # you're going to want to use a flanged base. Nice.
Did that read as flanged or flared?
Flanged. I like.
Okay.
They sound like experts.
Yeah. Yeah, flange base.
All of the vocabulary I bring to that line of comedy is learned from the Dan Savage podcast. So.
Yeah, definitely. We should really add him to the credits at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Given how much we mine his material for ours.
Yeah, just made up most of our jokes.
Yeah.
He'd be horrified if he knew about this.
We outsource our music and our jokes.
Man, having macaroni salad and potato salad at the same party, that is real tempting. That's a lot of carbs, though.
It's a lot of mayo, depending on your recipe.
I guess, yeah, yeah. If it's a mayonnaise-y macaroni salad, yeah. I suppose
I
that could be.
I prefer a nice German mustardy potato salad.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I prefer that tang.
I could get into that, Adam.
I like a potato salad to blitzkrieg all over my taste buds.
Yeah.
Ben, we have a second priority one message here. It's from Bill, and it is for Goalie. And it goes like this. Happy birthday! What? A birthday message from your two favorite podcasters? I have indeed made it so. That's the line, right? You will always be my drunk Shimoda. And I'll always be yours. I love you.
There's a lot of love on this podcast lately.
Bill knew all the lines. All of them, including the drunk Shimoda line.
Yeah, nailed it.
Perfect birthday greeting, Bill. Hope you're feeling very loved, Goalie. If you were to pick two picnic foods for Bill and Goalie that were not potato and macaroni salad, not even knowing them, what are they?
I don't know.
Coleslaw and baked beans. That's where my head was going.
There you go.
Yeah. Coleslaw and baked beans. Two coleslaw from baked beans. It's alliterative for Bill.
I love it.
If you enjoy hearing us stretch these P1s into something vaguely humorous, go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, where personal messages are $100, commercial messages are $200, picnic-related messages, again, $100. They're a great way to support the show that you love and hear us contort ourselves into comedic pretzels around your many references.
Yeah, there's probably pretzels on that table, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dip a pretzel into them baked beans.
Yeah.
Yarmouk, Angelad, and Tanagra.
We do an embarrassing Star Trek podcast, and a big part of our success is owning that, being ourselves in all our embarrassing glory. But what if we didn't? What if we were just a Star Trek podcast? No embarrassment, no comedy, just Star Trek podcast. If you're somebody who wants a website, you could go generic and bland and one size fits all on a social media platform, or you could buy a custom URL and design a custom website with Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for all kinds of people to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. So whoever you are, or whatever you're trying to do, own it with Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/scarves to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Personal grooming is less about something I do for myself, even though there are myriad reasons for that, and more about my consideration for other people who have to look at me, be around me, and on special occasions, love me physically. And when it's clear my front and backyards are becoming overgrown and unsightly, I'll break out the mower, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra from Manscaped. This Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is really something else. This trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Listen, spring cleaning doesn't just apply to your nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit and Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants, right?
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast, and we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second and go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda?
Drunk Shimoda!
Oh boy, I laughed really hard at a line that Worf had. I think it's when Barclay gets the whole band together to discuss what he's been seeing in the transporter beam. And he describes these little poo worms. And he says that they have a mouth. It cuts to Worf. Worf just goes,
a mouth.
Oh man, it made me laugh. So Worf is my drunk Shimoda for this episode.
Ben, we just watched this episode, and I can't be sure that that isn't Worf's only line of dialogue. Like, I can just see Michael Dorn flipping forward and backwards in his script.
Yeah.
Only one highlighted line. Yeah. Oh, jeez. You mean I have to put on my uniform for this?
Mm-hmm. Gotta sit in that loaf chair for 4 hours?
Oh, that's brutal. That is not a good payoff. For me, my Shimoda is O'Brien, and it's less specific and more general with him. Like, they sort of give him some interesting stuff to do. They wake him up and trot him into the transporter room to interact with Barclay. I feel like that's a fun bit of acting for Colum to do. Like,
yeah.
Act like you're really put out with Barclay and tired.
Yeah.
And then there's the scene where he just sort of fucks with him on the spiders, like,
yeah,
sort of trying to commiserate with him, get on the same level as far as the phobias go, like trying to become equals in some way that Barkley is just not having. Like, and also, I feel like Barkley doesn't do a good job recognizing the effort, you know? Yeah. Barkley's not good at making friends. I feel like O'Brien's really trying. And he's trying in a fun way, and that's why I'm giving him my Shimoda.
Nicely done, Colm.
Yeah. He's got a back zip, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's had a back zip.
Has it been from the start?
Well, I mean, they changed the whole thing.
Once people were doling out back zips, was he in the first wave of back zips?
I think he was a first waiver.
I think so, too. I think that's got to feel good.
Early adopter of the back zip.
You got to feel good when they're like, they got the box open and they're handing them out and the box is getting lower and lower and Colomini is like...
Saying everybody's last name. Dorn. Yeah. Frakes.
Yeah, I mean...
McFadden.
Yeah, you hear a McFadden, you got to think Meanie's coming.
Yeah.
Ah, what a relief.
Yeah.
That's a great day.
There were probably some times in seasons 4 and 5 where he was like, well, at least I got that back zip going for me, because...
The back zip resale has got to be far better than the front zip, I bet.
Yeah.
Totally. What do we have coming up on the next episode, Ben?
The next episode is season 6, episode 3, Man of the People. Troy is drastically transformed when a visiting ambassador secretly uses her to achieve his aims. Do you remember this episode, Adam?
Is this the one where Troy turns into a fish? Is this the fish Troy episode?
It's either that or the Elvira Troy episode.
Oh, do we get deep voice Troy?
This might be deep voice Troy.
Oh, goody. I'm excited for this one then. I like me some deep voice Troy. Yeah. Do you think she's kept the tan? She was also looking very tan this episode.
She sure was, yeah. I don't know.
This is a character development for her. If I just got back from a vacation as an actor and I am now tan on the show, I think you're
you got to write a line in to explain it away.
Well, not only that, but like it's just part of my job to be tan, you guys. So I'm gonna go out to the trailer, get some sun while you guys run this scene. You can go ahead and do it without me. Do my pickups later.
Yeah.
When it's night. Yeah, there's sort of a lot going on here with her.
Yep.
She goes through a lot this season. She gets tan. She changes uniforms.
Yeah.
Good times.
This is a big
Well,
one.
I'm not vetoing this episode, Ben. Are you?
No way.
All right. Gotta see it.
All right. Well, that's the next one. I should thank Dark Materia for our theme music and Adam Ragusea for our other music.
Dan Savage for our jokes.
Yeah. Let's see. We should thank everybody that chose not to complain about my homeopathy jokes.
I don't think there are many of those, Ben.
I appreciate it, though. The ones that decided not to take to their keyboards.
Yeah.
Because they believe in fake science.
Oh, God. I'm not going to check our email for a while. Guys, if you write in with something sincere and not homeopathy related, give it some time. I'll get to those eventually.
Well, we should People love to talk to us about all of this stuff on the Greatest Gen hashtag, the Facebook group, the Reddit sub, the Maximum Fun Reddit sub, all great places that everybody loves hanging out, and we hang out there too, try and stay in the mix as much as possible. So
yeah.
We love to see you guys on there. If you want to support the show, go to MaximumFun.org/donate, and with that, we will be back at you next time with another great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and an episode of The Greatest Generation that may or may not be a fish. Make it so.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.